Welcome to the 33% podcast. Each and every week, and well, certainly most weeks, we will be taking you through our journey as we set up 33% and make the most of our working lives. We'll be talking about how we set up the company, why we've done what we've done, and hopefully providing a bit of insight into the process of running a small business along the way. So today, what we wanted to talk about is our brand new course. We've just launched a new course, Gary.
We have. And who's Gary, by the way? Our baby is live. Yes. I'm Gary. He's James. You didn't introduce yourself, either.
No, I'm not very good at this whole introduction part. But yeah, we've launched a new course. It's pretty exciting. It went live a few days ago. But obviously, we've had a lot of people trying it out in the meantime to see how it's all gone. And we're getting some great feedback, which is lovely.
It's very exciting.
So we thought it would be, it might be interesting just to talk a bit about that process, about why we did the course in the first place, how we went about the process, and kind of, yeah, trying to provide a bit of insight into that whole experience. So first and foremost, like, Gary, why did we decide to do a course rather than just carry on doing our kind of direct consulting and working with people directly?
I think there's two reasons. One is because you love being on camera. I don't think there's any getting away from that. The ego
I've got a
is
face the camera loves. There's no two ways about it.
I mean, and I normally I'd come back with a smart ass response, but I'm not going to, because
face for an audio podcast is what we've really got. But you know,
that's I didn't want to go there. But the main reason is because, and it goes back to the mission of why we set this up in the first place, which was help and impact as many small business owners as we can. We recognize not every small business owner has either the time or the money to do these masterminds or these workshops or things that we do. And actually, the most cost-effective method for them to consume some of this learning is via a video download course. And also, it's the easiest way for them to get access to it as well. It's much cheaper than actually doing these full-on one-to-one workshops, but also they can do it at a time that works for them. The whole point of the videos, and the reason we've done it the way we've done it, broken it down into multiple smaller videos, is so that they can watch at their own leisure. You know, if they've got a couple of hours to sit there and just do the whole course, great, then they can do that. But if they don't, and they just need to work in, you know, maybe 10 5-minute slots, then it enables them to do that as well.
Yeah, that was definitely something that I think came up quite early on. Is we offered out free workshops to a lot of small businesses, right? As we were starting out, especially as we went through the second lockdown, we offered that to a lot of people. But actually, we found, although there was a lot of interest in doing it, most small businesses just having the time was the problem. They didn't have enough time to be able to slot that into their day, to be able to find a space where we could actually get together and do a live workshop where they could give over a couple of hours of their time to be able to do that together. Whereas when it's a course, they can do it in the evening, they can do it at lunchtime, they can slot it in, they can, you know, they can break it down into small bits, or they can do it all in one go, like you said. And I think that hopefully that will work better for a lot of people.
Yeah, and ultimately the reason, obviously, what we've done is this first course is not everything we cover across all of our different options, but it's the part that definitely has been when we've been, you know, we've spoken to a lot more people over the last 5 months than we had previously. And I think you get the sense from those business owners that understanding the customer and never running out of content are the two biggest headaches they've got. Normally they're very linked, and that's why we've done the course the way we've done it. But ultimately, yeah, the reason we've picked this particular section of stuff that we teach to be the first course is because I think undoubtedly it's the one that most people need.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that to start with then. So the concept of the course, as you rightly said, is know your customer. Now, funnily enough, when we asked a lot of people about what are the things they struggle with, what are the things people want to learn more about, actually, I want to learn more about my customer wasn't really one of the things that came up that often. It was, as you said, I want more customers. But one of the biggest pains was I never know what to write on my social media. I know I'm supposed to do, a lot of people say like that, I know I'm supposed to be doing more social media content. I know I'm supposed to be writing blogs. I don't know who it is that says that you're supposed to be doing it, but someone's saying to them, they're supposed to be doing this stuff, and they struggle to be able to come up with what to do. And that really was the biggest headache that people were having. But the truth is that that's not knowing what to write and how to create a lot of volume of content isn't really the problem. The problem is, if you don't know what to write, it's probably because you don't really know who you're talking to and you don't really know how to talk to them. And I think that's where we got to, wasn't it? That we,
yeah.
Hence the Know Your Customer course.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes back to the phrase that you use, which is, your customer needs to be like your best friend. You need to be able to talk to them like your best friend. You go out for a meal, your best friend. If you haven't seen them for a month or you speak to them every day, you don't meet them and just sort of dry up and not know what to talk about. You always know what to talk about with someone that you know well. And if you know your customer well, then you don't run out of ideas. So it always comes back to knowing your customer. And actual fact, the phrase you said earlier was also an interesting one, which is, I need to post more on social media, which always makes me laugh because as if social media is just a single entity and it's not actually another 9 different platforms by themselves. So actually, which part of social media? Because actually that again, that's the reason why it's a big part of this course. If you don't know where they are, you don't know how to talk to them. You don't know what sort of content is right for them.
Yeah, I mean, the form follows the function then, doesn't it? The type of content you want to create should depend on whereabouts your customer is. What platforms they use affects the type of, you know, the type of content you do. If they're on TikTok, then you've got to be doing some TikTok dances. But if they aren't on TikTok, then that might not be the solution.
Just so we're clear, for the listener, the idea of James doing TikTok dances does amuse me.
It would be pretty special, I think you'd agree.
I've only ever seen you do dancing once. I was drunk as well, so it was acceptable, but it's still amusing.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe one day, maybe a festive 33% TikTok post would be appropriate. I don't know. Probably not. I think if we're paying attention to our ideal customer, Gary, they are also not looking to follow us on TikTok.
I concur.
So let's talk a bit about the process of, you know, so we've established that what we wanted to do is we wanted to make a course. We wanted to help people come up with their content ideas. And we wanted ultimately to help people really, really understand who their customer is. Now, that's all well and good. And I'll be the first one to admit, I thought, right, let's do a course. That'd be dead easy. We just get a camera. We'll set that up. We'll just film it and we'll just chat through the stuff. We talk about this all the time. We do workshops all the time. So we'll just record us doing a workshop, but instead of doing it to another person, we're doing it to a camera. So that'll be, you know, we'll have that whole course done in half a day. And that's not entirely how it went.
It's not entirely how even the recording after the days and days and days of prepping and writing the content and changing all of the content, because delivering it to a camera is very different from delivering it to a person. Even then, when we actually sat down to actually record it, it certainly didn't take half a day to do. But yeah, I think I think the starting point is you suddenly very quickly realize that talking to an individual where you're bouncing ideas back and you're getting communication is very, very different from getting a message across where you're talking to a mass people, but you don't know who they are and you don't know how they're using it. And it's a very, for a start, it just feels very different. And you have to get your mindset into that. And once you've got your mindset into that, you realize that actually some of the content needs to change slightly. Certainly how you deliver it needs to change slightly. And how we merged all the different forms of the course together had, you know, changed completely, really. So that it actually made sense to someone consuming it via a download version rather than in person.
Yeah, and I think what you don't always realize is sometimes when you do workshops that you do repeat, ultimately you do the same thing with multiple different people, you don't realize how much you tailor them even as you're going along. You sort of tailor them on the fly. You learn a bit about the person you're talking to and you can share different stories or share different experiences that tie more into what they do or tie more into their products or their service. And suddenly you realize that when you can't do that, you have to keep saying the words product or service, because you've no idea whether the person is selling a product or whether they're a consultant selling a service. So you've got to try and juggle all those different things so it's still relevant to those people whilst keeping your niche reasonably tight, because again, we've got to focus on the type of people that we want to work with and that are right for this course as well. So that was a really different thing. I remember that, you know, one of the first things when we look back at the number of different videos we did from the very first one where we were sort of sitting in we had a bash at doing it sitting in my garden to standing in a nearby park, because we thought that an outdoorsy scenario would be best for us, to a garage in a Northumberland holiday house where we tried to hide the stuffed animals that were hanging on the wall behind us. And again, every time it was, we filmed it, you watched it back, you get super self-conscious, you go, that's dreadful. And suddenly the content is not, it's funny how the content becomes almost secondary to you worrying about your own performance, which is kind of wrong, really. And you never think about that when you go into a workshop in some dusty old boardroom somewhere or wherever you go. You don't really care. You don't care what the background looks like. You don't care. You dress smartly, but you're not worried as much about your performance as you are about delivering great content and engaging your audience. But when you can't see your audience, suddenly it becomes a performance all of a sudden, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's different things become important to you. Totally different things. If we think about it, the funniest one possibly is just me wearing glasses or not wearing glasses. Wouldn't even think about it. If I was live, I'd put, if in front of a group of people, I have to put my glasses on, because I can't see them properly. But because I'm on camera, and because the camera reflects and glares a little bit on my glasses, we'll think, we better take them off. Of course, as anybody who goes through the course, and I hope everybody listening goes and does the course, but what you'll notice is that at various points I've got glasses on, and other points I don't have glasses on, because we forgot to take them off at some points. And quite frankly, after we'd recorded 9,000 versions, I wasn't going to then go and record a 9,001th version just because in one of them I happen to have glasses on. So, we might not, I have this vision in 20 years' time when the 33%, universe is similar to the size of the Marvel universe. They'll look back and they'll consider me wearing glasses in one particular 30-second slot as a bit of an Easter egg. Probably not, but that's it. I can dream.
When we're recording in a nice, comfortable studio, and that's the other thing that we had to contend with. There's no getting around that. We were recording a lot of this in the midst of various different lockdowns. We're right now even still in the middle of the COVID-19 outbreak pandemic. Hopefully people listen to this years in the future will be like, what was that about? I can't remember. I learned about it at school. But it will be a distant memory, I hope. I certainly hope that. And even next year, I hope that's true. But we were trying to do it in that scenario where there was, where we couldn't get together. We were trying to do things virtually. We were trying to do stuff 2 meters apart in the same general vicinity. And again, all of these things were super, super, super difficult to be able to.
Let's be honest. At one point, we had to work around a Christmas tree. So these are some of the challenges because as you say, we can't go to an office. We can't sit in a studio. We have to do it in a slightly odd environment, really. So you make it work.
We had that debate, didn't we? Do we just leave it? Do we just wait until this is over and then we can get in a studio? We can do it properly the way that we wanted to, the way that we envisaged it, really. But we just felt it's not, the content is more important than that. Getting out there is more important than that. And being able to help people, especially now where I think people need that help and support more than ever. Especially small businesses. I don't think they've been given a great deal of support, and I think they need it. And we both felt it was important to get this course launched as soon as possible so that people could start, ultimately start using it and getting the benefit from it.
Yeah, I think if we didn't do it and we held off, and let's be honest, it could be 3 or 4 months before we could have actually done it properly, I think we're in danger of falling into the trap that we didn't want right from the start, which was our business just becomes about larger brands. We've been lucky enough since we've created this new company to already start working with some good companies, bigger companies than we probably thought we were going to work with in this entity, which is great, and that's kept us busy. But actually, it's still the small businesses we want to reach, and it's the small businesses that are struggling to do those workshops with us. So if we were going to stay true to our mission, which was help as many small business owners as we could, then this really is the only way to do it. It's absolutely the best way to get across to as many people as possible. So I think if we wanted to be true and we could have held off quite easily till April next year, but what's the point of that? It goes against what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're thinking back to the sort of the process of both creating the content for the course and ultimately trying to distill that you know, what we said, you know, between the two of us, like 40 something years worth of knowledge, and trying to pack that into a couple of hours worth of content. It's quite hard, because I think a lot of the time we as marketing professionals, you know, business owners, we have a tendency to assume a lot of knowledge of other people. We assume people know how to do certain things. We assume that people should, obviously everyone knows they need to be doing that, but actually this was a lot of this was about going back to basics and thinking about what should we have done when we started. And we did exactly the same thing for, you know, we followed this process for our new business that we set up and made sure that we were doing all these things, because we wanted to make sure we'd fully, you know, we've both been working in, you know, my business is much smaller than yours, but working in businesses with more people and, you know, and working with bigger brands ultimately. So sometimes you can get a bit out of touch with what it is to run a small business. So it was quite important to go back to basics and think about those foundational elements to try and make that course content right. What did you find to be the hardest part of the whole, you know, of the whole process?
I mean, you mean apart from being on camera, because you know I hated that. Yeah. Apart from being on camera, I think the hardest, well, I don't know about the hardest part, the bit that surprised me the most was, as you've described it, once we started working with people and we started talking to people, I was genuinely surprised by the things they didn't know. And what's interesting is, as you say, because we've both spent 20 years working in marketing for, you know, relatively large brands, we're used to working with people whose entire jobs is just this. So of course they do know every element. They do know that they've got to, you know, they need to talk about subjects that matter to their audience, for example, or they need to, you know, brand isn't just a logo. It's about the tone of voice. It's about the values you believe in, all these sorts of things that we kind of took as standard. But actually, when you started talking to small business owners, they've never been taught that. They've never had the time to learn that. And they certainly have never had the time to get around to doing it, really. And that's where that whole, you know, big brand secrets thing came from, is the fact that most of the things that these small business owners don't know is just because they just assume that's what the big brands do. And then as soon as they realize, all right, is that all it is? Oh, we can do that. You know, because these are smart people. This is the thing you learn when you start working with small businesses. They're really smart, clever people. I admire anybody who's ever set up a company and run it, because it's the hardest thing in the world to do. But so you know that once they get taught the basics of marketing in a way that fits around their time, fits around their understanding, they're going to pick it up. They're not idiots. These people run businesses and make money. So they know what they're doing. They just need help.
Yeah, and I think that was a big part of what we set out to achieve right at the very beginning, was that we wanted to demystify this idea that marketing is some sort of dark art. There are some secrets, you know, there are secrets that you don't know about that you got to, you know, that you'll never be able to achieve. And the truth is, it's not rocket science. The truth is that there are basics. I mean, you know, as you get more advanced, yes, there are techniques, there are clever things that you can do that you might not, you might not know about, and you might have to get clever about the process. But when you're starting out, there's some real fundamental stuff that you can do, and you can achieve enormous results with just that. And as you say, you know, the thing about, you know, most business owners is they're doing everything. They're wearing, you know, multiple hats. They're running their business, they're running their people, they're doing their payroll, they're doing their, you know, accounts, they're doing absolutely every part of the process. So you can see why marketing ends up getting hoof to one side. So that's something that we were always really, really conscious of, that we wanted to make sure that we weren't going, oh, marketing should take up, you know, 90% of the time. You should make sure that you focus on your marketing, because that's the most important thing, because that's the thing we do. It's that phrase I always say, that, you know, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To a marketing agency, the solution's always marketing. To a website agency, the solution's always a new website. And I think that's the thing for us, is that we know that marketing has to fit in to that business. It's got to be a small part of what they do, because they're doing so much other stuff. And I think creating, that was the challenge, I think, from my point of view, was creating something that we felt could slot into a smaller space of time for them, that they could genuinely deliver results in, you know, in a small amount of, you know, yeah, like 30 minutes every day, they could deliver some really good quality results.
Yeah, agreed. So obviously we've been through this process. I'm curious. Both two questions occur to me. A, what was your favorite part of the process? And B, which was your favorite course? Which was your favorite video to do?
Or lesson, which favorite lesson?
Yeah, which subject did you enjoy doing the most? But ooh, do, say that okay. to last. What in the whole process did you actually enjoy?
Yeah, when I shot it on camera, I just no. I love. What did I like? I really enjoyed the process of breaking down what is quite a complicated subject and try and make it smaller and more digestible, and telling stories about thinking back to our careers, thinking back to times, you know, experiences we've had where we've been able to use this knowledge to help other people and stuff like that. And I think that was something that I did really, really enjoy.
Wow.
I do I like what?
It's a very earnest answer, isn't it? I was expecting something glib, like, you know, I quite enjoyed like standing in the background and watching your stupid outtakes when you got things
that's
wrong.
Fun
I
mean, as well,
that was
though.
My favorite part of the front.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, watching you struggle to record is, I mean, there's always enjoyment. Like, there's nothing more British than the enjoyment of watching the suffering of other people, the schadenfreude. But from my own point of view, I enjoyed that process. Uh-huh. And I do enjoy, I like presenting. There's no two ways about that. I like telling stories. And the beauty of recording something like that is there's no one there, so they can't argue with you or talk back, which is wonderful. So that's good too.
Fair enough. Okay, then let's end this with what was your favorite subject to cover in the course?
Well, you tell me what your favorite part of the process was first, and then I'll tell you what my favorite lesson was.
I've already told you my favorite part of the process was watching you make it.
Oh, that was your favorite thing. Good.
I wasn't saying that would be yours. That was my favorite bit. I very much. I don't have an earnest answer. I mean, I enjoy. I as you well know, I love the interaction of the workshops. So this was much harder for me to get my head around, and I don't like being on camera. So all of these things made that part of it quite uncomfortable. But it was fun. Even though sometimes it was stressful, the recording bits were actually quite fun because it didn't matter, because it, you know, you could get it wrong and do it again. You know, that was actually quite fun. Some of the flubs we'd do, the frustration of when you record a 9-minute video and 8 minutes and 54 seconds, you make a flub and you've got to destroy the whole thing. That, you know, that's frustrating, but also equally fun. So,
yeah. And I think the real fun, the real buzz from it all comes when you get a piece of positive feedback from someone that's done the course. And I think that ultimately is the bit that's when it's really enjoyable, when you hear someone say, yeah, I've been through the process and I get it. Like, I understand better than I did at the start. And that is that's a really good, really good feeling.
I think in 2, 3, 4 years time, we'll remember that the first time someone fed back to us. I don't think we'll forget that. It certainly was when you do something, you just hope it's good. And then when the first person says, well, that was really good, wasn't it? Or I think the words, that was really professional. I think that's the yeah. point where I, oh,
and,
wow.
And what's hilarious,
I can aim for no more than that.
What's so funny is that for 20 years, we've both been delivering for pretty decent sized brands in a very, very professional environment. Like, and at a high level, like, not, this is not, you know, we've not just been playing around and suddenly, I tell you what, I reckon I've probably got more satisfaction from one individual small business owner telling me I feel differently about marketing now than I did at the start of this process than I have from some of our award-winning campaigns and massive projects that we've worked on in the past. It's really different.
I have genuinely talked to an audience of about 2,000 people straight after Steve Wozniak, and quite frankly and got people saying nice things. This was both scarier and there's a bigger buzz when you know, somebody's running a graphic art business, just a one person, says that was really useful and it helped me change the way I worked. I suppose that ultimately, without trying to deliberately bring it back to our mission, that's why we set the thing up in the first place, because we wanted to make a difference. So anyway, we can't end on such a serious note. So
favorite. So you want to end on favorite lesson? That was
yeah. What was your favourite subject?
My favourite, I mean, my favourite lesson goes back to, it kind of goes back to like the first lesson I learned in marketing. And I think that's why it kind of brings everything full circle for me, which was, you know, the my first marketing manager when I started out, he said, think like a customer. That's all you've got to do. That's what marketing is. From day one, just if you can put yourself in the position of your customer, then you'll not go far wrong. And I, you know, and I've spent 20 years trying to think like a customer. And so for me, the your customer is your best friend, that understanding everything about them and really, really nailing down that audience avatar, the profile, whatever you want to call it, that for me is the, you know, I think that's when it really starts to come together for, that's when it comes together for me. I think that's when it comes together for the audience, when you start to really picture that person and suddenly the content ideas start flowing and the products start coming up. You can't start coming up with new ideas for services or products you could do because you suddenly have that person in your mind. And I think that's a big one for me. How about you?
I know what you think I'm going to say. You think I'm going to say segmentation?
I don't. I think you're fed up with segmentation at this point. But
I'm not. I'm genuinely not, because I don't get to do it much anymore. So I did enjoy doing that, but that isn't my favorite thing. My favorite thing, without a shadow of a doubt, because it's the thing that I think I've learned most about, and to a certain extent, it's something we've invented. The way process, the way we've worked, was the subjects of influence. I've absolutely, and you know that because I leverage it into literally everything we do nowadays. Okay, it helps. It's got a Venn diagram, and we all know I love a Venn diagram.
Love a Venn diagram.
But ultimately, yeah, I love doing the subject of influence because it's so unbelievably simple. And then every time you do it with someone, they go, "Oh God, yeah."
Oh yeah.
And there's no greater test than us, because we did it, and suddenly we've always got loads of ideas and that are relevant, you know, it's the classic thing, you know, the painter and decorator always has the messiest house because they're never doing their own stuff. So we are trying to live what we're teaching, but yeah, that for me is that's the one I enjoyed. I think it's probably the one that has the least takes, because I think when you really, really enjoy it, you don't think about a script, you just talk. Yeah. I think that's the best sign of that sort of thing.
And like you said, those two are really the kind of the central core of the whole process, really, of the whole course. They're kind of when it starts to, after that, it's more about implementing it. Before that, it's kind of setting you up for that point. And then that's really when you start to really visualize your customer and you start to get those subjects of influence together. That's when it really comes together, I think.
I agree.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I think that was really interesting. It was fun to sort of talk back about the process as well, after having gone through it, you know, for the past sort of few months trying to get it all right. It's fun to look back on that, and I'm sure it'll continue to grow and evolve over the course of the coming months. Absolutely. And years. But yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for listening, listeners. If you'd like to know more, of course, about this wonderful course of which we speak, then by all means, head on over to 33%.co.uk. That's all letters, no numbers. And you can check out our Know Your Customer course on there. We've also got quite a few different free webinars on there as well. Or if you're not ready to sign up for something, then by all means, have a watch or listen to some of those, because there's some great stuff in there that, again, I think will really help quite a lot of people getting, stopping feeling that sense of being overwhelmed by marketing and not knowing quite what to do. So again, please do that. By all means, do subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play, whichever you fancy. iTunes really is the main one, isn't it? No one really uses Google Play, do they? I'm sure there's Android people out there, but you know your customer. Anyway, on that bombshell, we will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Say a nicer goodbye, Gary. That was just like a goodbye.
Why?
It just wasn't.
It was just that was fine.
It sounded like a miserable goodbye. Goodbye!
That's my one.